Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Kevin.
Happy Thursday, Roberto. How are you?
Great, thank you. So, hold on, I have to cough. Good, not much better.
Such an old guy cough.
I know, right? I want to. I can give you different coughings. I can give you petite. I can give you old man. Did you like those? Those are my only two. I'm sorry.
I just really enjoy your impulse to always improv. It still shocks me that you weren't an actor longer, because you really do have that impulse. I guess it's the directing impulse that really
shocked me too.
You're a great type now. You'd kill it right now. You'd go into a casting room and they'd be like, that's why everybody knows you, Rob. Whenever we go anywhere together, Rob, everyone always knows who Rob is. Former guests, they know instantly. Me, they're like, who's this guy? Who's this kid? Not true.
Somebody came up to me yesterday who'd worked with you at Goodspeed and was like, I'm a friend of Kevin Thomas's. And that's how he introduced himself.
Aw, that is sweet.
Dave? All right.
Sure.
He just did something with you at Goodspeed.
Yeah, there are a lot of people there. Oh, it's okay.
Sorry.
Then I'm like, oh gosh, I feel like one of our guests where I can't remember a name, but I'm just like, but that's just
we'll
blur.
We'll cut it out and make it sound like you did remember the name. Hello!
That's what we tell all of our guests, listeners. We're always like, don't worry. We'll make it sound like
hey, guess what I saw last night?
What did you see last night, Rob?
If I could turn back time.
Wait, that's your share?
Yeah, it's not
Isn't it like, if I could turn back time?
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin, who says I don't do impressions, great impressions.
It was like a Goulet share. It wasn't like a... Try again.
If I could turn back time. No, it's not going to work. It's the worst impression I've ever done.
That was really great.
If I could find a way. No.
So you had fun, as much fun as I'm having with this.
Oh, my God. Okay, folks, I'm going to tell you this right now. I know this show did not get the best reviews. I had a blast at the Cher show. And I'll tell you why. If you go in and you just accept the fact that you're going to see, like, Bob Mackie costumes and you're going to listen to Cher music, you're in great shape. It is fun. It is fun. I had a great time. First of all, Emily Skinner plays old Lucille Ball. Like,
what more could we want? I mean,
I was like, at this point, just I'm going to come back. And somebody plays Robert Altman, the film director. I'm like, this is like somebody wrote this musical
for me. That's specific.
Somebody wrote this for me. The cast is marvelous. It's really a lot of fun. I'm sick of people saying, anything about me, blah, blah, blah. I had a good time. Stephanie Block should win the Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical. Special. If she doesn't win it, I'm going to pry it out of the hands of whoever did and
They're
hand
not
it
do
to
that.
Her.
How do you think they'll look at nominating all three Chers?
You know what? I hate to say this. I think they came to a decision on it already.
Yeah.
I feel like Stephanie Block is a lead. I feel like Teal Wicks, because there's three Chers. It's her at different stages of her
Michaela,
life.
Michaela, Teal, and Stephanie
And
Block,
I feel like
yes.
they said Michaela is supporting and Teal
gotcha.
Is, I think they made the decision on this already. All I know is that Stephanie's going to be nominated as a lead, and she should be, and she should win.
Awesome. Fantastic.
It's really a brilliant performance. It's not just a Cher impression. You actually feel there's a human being up there. The Bob Mackie costumes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's literally a 10-minute fashion show in the middle of the show. Seriously. She stops and she goes, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Mackie. And, like, all these, like, people come out wearing all the different outfits. And you're just like, yes.
That's incredible. I mean, and he designed all – I mean, obviously he designed the costumes for this. But the fact that he's done this for so long and to be sort of honored in that way, I don't know. I think that's pretty cool.
He did – I mean, for our listeners, he was the resident designer on the Carol Burnett show as well. That hysterical Gone with the Wind curtain with the rod hanging out of it, that's him. He's a genius. And would you believe it or not, he actually ties into my favorite thing this week.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I just realized
that in the moment.
Bring it.
Oh, you want to hear the favorite thing?
Yeah, let's go. It's right on cue.
I want to talk to you about Lolita, my love, that's at the York, but we'll talk about that in a little bit then.
We can talk about that now. I don't...
No. I'm gonna wait, Kevin. You're absolutely
right. Out of order. Let's go out of order. It's good.
Yeah. Okay, so folks, my favorite thing this week was actually introduced to me by a fellow listener.
Love that.
Right? His name's Adam.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Adam was like, he goes, "Do you know about Through the Looking Glass?" And I said, "I don't know what Through the Looking Glass is." Now you know me. If it's a campy TV musical from like 19 whatever, whatever, when they were still sending telegrams.
Yes.
I can tell you not only who was in it, what network it appeared on, how many ratings it got.
You can sing the theme song.
Always.
Always.
There's a new girl in town. I wanted to sing that to Linda Lavin.
The Ropers. Do the Ropers. Do the Ropers.
Oh, Rope. No, we talked about the Ropers.
Okay, sorry.
Ropers is weird.
Sorry.
Guys, if you want to see the weirdest theme song out there, go look at the Ropers, the Three's Company spinoff. Ropers starred Patty McCormick, who was in our Richard Rodgers concert.
That's right.
But it's literally, it's like a boom, 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 boom. It's like this weird thing, like they're dancing in front of different colored screens. It makes me uncomfortable, Kevin. I really needed a trigger warning before you brought that up to me. Anyway, but he was like, "Do you know about Through the Looking Glass?" And I said, "I don't. What is that?" Through the Looking Glass is a Moose Charlap 1966 What? TV musical that's Alice in Wonderland, but like a very loose version of Alice in Wonderland. It's on YouTube. Like I said, it comes out in November of 1966. The music is by Moose Charlap of Peter Pan.
Who gave us Peter Pan, yeah.
And I feel like some other ones that we don't talk about.
Right, right.
He died young. You know, he was only 45 when he died.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, so I watched it.
Moose.
Folks, it is campy. Campy goodness. The show only won one Emmy for Bob Mackie costume design.
Yes.
I just want to read to you some of the cast here. Okay, he doesn't show up in Alice in Wonderland, so explain this to me. Jimmy Durante is Humpty Dumpty. How is Humpty Dumpty in Alice in Wonderland? We have a Red Queen, Red King, White Queen, White King. Okay.
Okay.
Red King is Robert Coote from the original My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
The queen is Agnes Moorehead from Bewitched.
Of course.
The white king is Ricardo Montalban, best known as Hervé Villachez's co-star in Fantasy Island. But guess who the white queen is?
Who?
Nanette Fabre.
I love Nanette Fabre.
There's also if you guys remember the movie City Slickers, that cowboy actor Jack Palance.
Oh, yeah.
Did Jack the one-arm Palance. Push-ups at the Oscars.
Yes. Right?
I'm sure they'll play that clip this week at the Oscars just to remind everybody. He's the Jabberwocky. He looks like some, like, weird leather fantasy of, like, what the Jabberwocky should look like. I'm just throwing it out there. Playing Tweedledee and Tweedledum, the Smothers Brothers. So it's like, guys, it's campy goodness, but I want to give a special shout out to the girl who plays Alice because, remember, you have to remember this is the golden age, right?
I'm looking this up, yes.
This girl is named Judy, J-U-D-I, one more time, J-U-D-I, Rolin, R-O-L-I-N, R-O-L-I-N. Okay. Judy Rolin, I've never heard of her before. She's like 20 playing like 10-year-old Alice. Just let that go. She is singing. Her voice sounds like it could be heard today. She's like mixing up a storm, belting her face off. Her voice literally sounds like a contemporary voice. It's kind of incredible. I know nothing about her. That's what you want from a historical show. I know nothing about her. It was choreographed by Tony Sharmley, who we've heard many times from Leroy Reams. And like I said, the costumes are by Bob Mackie, but the album, the soundtrack is available for listening to on Spotify and Apple Music. But folks, you just have to go to YouTube. You have to type in Through the Looking Glass.
I'm looking
watch
at it right now, and I know I watched this as a kid.
You've
but
seen this as a kid?
I think as a kid, somehow we did.
It was on VHS. Like it was like they sold it to people. I think it was kind of out there before that weird 80s version came out. Remember that 80s version of it?
Of course. Yeah, of course, with Carol Channing. But it's filmed in front of an audience. I mean, I heard clapping just now.
Yes, it's done in front of a studio audience. It's done in front of a live studio audience. Nanette Fabre has she's like the star of the show, Nanette Fabre.
She should be.
And like we mentioned her last year, she passed away. We were so close to getting her on the podcast. She's one of these great stars of the golden age who like decided to have a very successful television career. Exactly. So like seeing her musical comedy work, it's really hard to find. This puts it in full display. And the Bob Mackie costumes are legitimately stunning. legitimately awesome. Stunning. So it's like an hour and 20 minutes or so. Go have fun. Go watch Through the Looking Glass. Adam, thank you so much for recommending it. It was campy, fabulous, wonderful goodness.
Fantastic.
Just
fantastic.
Like my life.
I was just going to say, speaking of, you saw Lolita, My Love?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I was going to ask what you thought about the York doing it. I was going to get an opinion.
Well.
I don't know, folks. I'm like,
listeners, what do you think? You know, well, John Barry, who gave us some James Bond scores, and among other things, and they decided in the early 70s, let's make a musical version of Nabokov's Lolita. So that really sings. Doesn't it sing to you, Rob?
And for those of you that might be like, what is Lolita? It was a novel about a pedophile. A love story between a pedophile.
Fell in love with this child.
And a 12-year-old girl.
Yep.
And in order to get closer to the 12-year-old girl, he marries her mother.
The mother, yep.
And then I haven't read the book in a long time. The mother either the mother dies, or he kidnaps the girl and takes her away from the mother. If you've seen the Netflix documentary Abducted in Plain Sight, by the way, it's sort of the same thing. Did you watch that, by the way?
No, I don't love
God,
those kinds of things.
My God, that's so creepy.
Yeah.
That movie is so creepy. Once again, it's a documentary. This guy wants to he's a pedophile, and to get closer to the daughter, the girl he's in love with, he ends up sleeping and having an affair not only with her mother but also her father.
Oh my.
It's a true story. If you guys want to see something really screwed up, Abducted in Plain Sight.
Well, now I'm like, well, Lolita, My Love, the musical now seems
Oh, this
like,
will be a musical. Oh, sure, at some point. But
so
anyway.
So they made this musical. They tried out of Boston. I've listened to the recording.
They made it into a musical.
And you can, there's a soundboard recording of the Out of Town Boston one. Alan J. Lerner was the lyricist. And it, obviously, Dorothy Loudon was in it. And obviously it did not. It closed Out of Town. But York is taking up the mantle and doing this production.
It has not been seen in any incarnation since it closed in Boston.
Right.
And they've had an archivist come in and like reconstruct the score and this and the libretto and all that stuff. So the musical theater historian in me goes, I am curious.
Right.
But I'm also like, now?
Yeah.
And do you cast a 12-year-old girl?
I don't think so. Absolutely not.
I think this girl is like in her 20s that they've cast, but I'm like, does she look like she's I don't know. I'm interested. Now, Jim Morgan, who's the artistic director, they just had an article in the New York Times. He said, I asked a lot of my female friends if it was okay to be presenting it. And because it makes sense. And he said they all unanimously said yes.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm curious to see it. I'm just interested in if this is the right time.
Yeah, and to know exactly what is the piece. I mean, what are they and how it's done as well. I mean, not to say I don't want to give any credence to anything that they're doing, but it just depends on what is the message of this story and what are they trying to get out of it. What's the point of musicalizing it or presenting it again? But you're right, from a historical, you know, like some of you want to. I'm curious about the score. What does it sound like? But as an artistic piece of, you know, of work, I don't know. I don't know, Rob.
I understand the why they're doing it, because their season this year is Alan J. Lerner shows, and it's an Alan J. Lerner show. It's an Alan J. Lerner show nobody's ever seen before. So I get that. I'm just like, is this the right time for it?
Right.
But I'm going in with an open mind, because I don't want to criticize something without having seen it. It might be something totally different. And Emily Maltby, Richard Maltby Jr.'s daughter, is directing it. I think she's a very sensitive director. We shall see. But if anyone has any thoughts and opinions on it, or if anybody's going to see it before we broadcast again next week, because hopefully I'll have seen it by next week, we'll talk about it. But just wanted to throw that out there. I think it's good when we talk about contemporary theater as opposed to living in the past.
I do know
so much as we do.
I do know one of the actors in it, Robert Sella, and he's perhaps one of the greatest actors I've ever worked with.
Like, Robert's a genius.
He's just so special. So the fact that he's a part of it, he plays Humbert.
Yeah, Aline.
Yeah, he's a brilliant actor. I mean, he's at ease usually in plays he does, but he's at ease in musicals as well. But I'd be very so at least knowing that that kind of pedigree is top of the line as far as the acting is involved. I don't know. I'd be curious.
And you can find this on YouTube if you're looking for it. We did a concert a few years ago at 54 Below called Broadway Bound, and it was songs from musicals that were coming to Broadway didn't make it to Broadway. And Jim Walton from Maryland, who was a former guest of ours, he sang the title song, which I have to say is a gorgeous song. But watch him sing it once and then wait, because Jim is actually a fabulous impressionist, and then sang the song again with every couple of lines being a different impression of his.
I forgot he did that.
He did Paul Lynde singing Lolita, which was actually kind of amazing.
I mean, where are you ever going to see that?
at the York. That's how Robert's playing it. He's playing there it like is. Paul Lynde.
There it is.
Lolita. Let's get in the car. Sorry. Kids. Oh, that, now this on kids would make sense in the show.
Stop it right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Okay, so tell me, what's your favorite thing?
Well, I have a soundtrack today.
Because you said soundtrack, I'm assuming you mean a movie.
That is exactly correct. I still correct any... friends, students, acquaintances, strangers on the street. And when they say, oh, I love the Hamilton soundtrack, I'll be like, excuse me, sir. It's a cast recording. We don't call Broadway shows soundtracks. Okay.
Excuse me, Lynn?
Yes. Oh, he knows. So mine is from the 90s. This was a golden age for a certain studio, that being Disney.
Disney.
Of the Disney musicals that were done. In fact, it has been announced that this movie musical will be done in the Delcourt Theater this summer, 2019, and it's a Disney film, which surprises me that that will be in the Shakespeare in the Park series.
Are we going from zero to hero?
Just like that.
Tell me.
I love Hercules, the movies. I love the soundtrack even more. Full disclosure, I worked on Disney Cruise Line in 2003, 2004, and I was in Hercules, the musical. See, they spelled it M-U-S-E.
Wait a minute. I didn't know this.
Yeah. Disney Cruise Line did a version of like a 50-minute version of the musical, which, of course, is what – I mean, they're probably going to use the blueprints of that to make a bigger version, of course, but it's different. I mean, it's David Zippel and Alan Menken, who are the writers, that are still going to be working on this new version and adding more songs. But when I worked on the Cruise Line, yeah, it was a full version of the musical. It was a much cheekier, sillier version, very, very, you know, bare bones, but all the songs were there. I sang Go the Distance, you know, and it was fun. I was the young Hercules before he gets strong, just to clarify, that was definitely not me. And it was fun. But I'm excited that it's going to be making its comeback in 2019 and outdoors at the Shakespeare in the Park. But this score only has like six, seven songs on it. But I think all of them are really great. I watched the movie to do research before I went to Disney World, of course. And I was struck by how great the songs are. Alan Menken, we must remind ourselves, has something like 8 Broadway shows, you know, to his name, including Little Shop. And he's a great, great composer. I think he writes a great song, and not all of his shows are hits, but the ones that are hits are huge hits.
Listen to Debbie Gravitt's Alan Menken album.
There you go, right there. And David Zippel, who wrote the lyrics, you know, he wrote City of Angels on Broadway and Goodbye Girl. And then the orchestrations also are Broadway greats. Danny Troob, who's been around forever, and our former guest, Michael Starobin, he's the orchestrator for this. But what I love about this soundtrack is that there's so much Broadway talent on it. In the 90s, they always were using Broadway people. I feel like they don't use the stars as much anymore. You don't hear, you know, Kelly O'Hara on a big, huge Disney film. You want to. I mean, Anika Nani Rose was in, you know, in the one Disney Prince.
Princess and the Frog, right?
Yeah. But that was a couple years ago. And I was remember thinking, thank goodness, you know, that's about time. But this has, even the Muses, they approached the Spice Girls to do the Muses. But the Spice Girls had scheduling conflicts because it was the 90s. And so they turned instead to a more gospel flavor because that was really great storytelling. So they get these Muses. We have Cheryl Freeman, the Acid Queen from Tommy. We have LaShawn's, you know, Casual Tony for Color Purple. Lilias White, Tony for the Life. And then one of my favorites, Roz Ryan. She's the one, if you remember, listeners.
I know Roz Ryan.
In the front row of Violet and cried my eyes out in the 2003 concert version at Playwrights. She's the one when I couldn't get up out of my seat. She just said, oh, baby. Well, every time I hear her sing, I just hear her saying that to me.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby. Like a mix of pity, wonder, and also like, oh, I guess this is what we do this for. But what are you doing? What's wrong with you? But anyway, but they sound incredible on these songs like The Gospel Truth, Zero to Hero, A Star is Born. They're so much fun. Roger Bart, Broadway's Roger Bart, who was in The Producers and Young Frankenstein, among many, many, many other things. He sings Go the Distance. Danny DeVito sings his song. And Susan Egan, who has been living happily on the West Coast for many, many years now. I think near where you're from, actually, Rob. But she was the original Belle in Beauty and the Beast. And she was in that hit musical Triumph of Love, and among other things, but she is the voice of, she sings the I Won't Say I'm in Love in this, Meg Megora.
I almost hit it with my car once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so LA.
Yeah, like, that's a true story. I almost hit it with my car once.
I almost hit so-and-so with my car. And funnily enough, when they did the Spanish version of Hercules, Ricky Martin is the voice of the speaking voice and the singing voice for Hercules. So I think that's pretty cool. But if you haven't listened to Hercules in a while, I just recommend it. It's got great Broadway pedigree in it, and you can't stop tapping your toes and hum along to it the whole time. It's really fun.
That's amazing. I haven't seen it in the longest time. Now I want to go watch it.
They're worth it. Revisiting those old Disney films, I mean, in quotations, it's but all, in the 90s films, they're great. They're fantastic.
You know what's so funny? I feel like after The Lion King, I stopped watching them, like when they were coming out. I don't know why that was.
I went to college. I mean, I stopped watching because I was moving on to Ragtime and Parade and to, you know, the
maybe
more.
Maybe it felt like too babyish.
Intelligent musicals. Yeah, no, really. Yeah. And now as an quote unquote adult, but looking back on the form of them and the writing of them and the things that we know now, I really respect and appreciate the work they're doing. And, you know, movie musicals would be all but gone if it weren't for Alan Menken and Howard Ashman. It makes you wonder where we would be today if it weren't for them. You know, how one writer can make such a difference, or two writers.
Yeah.
So,
and if Howard Ashman had lived longer.
Had lived. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, I'm happy for this. Yeah.
It's going to be at the Public.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? The Shakespeare in the Park. I just think that's an interesting partnership. It's more mainstream for them to do at the Delcourt than, you know, Twelfth Night by Shana Taub. So it's interesting.
And they better do – guys, I want to see Hercules. Don't give me this like there's one trunk on stage and they're all wearing mime makeup and there's no band and they're all beating sticks. I don't want that. I like Hercules.
Oh, my gosh. It was. I remember performing because when you the Disney Cruise Line, you had to not only sing your solo, which actually was a really hard song to sing. Then you had to dance in all the numbers, and the dancing. Let me tell you, it was Disney aggressive dancing, and I've never danced like that in my life, and never will again.
Do you dance?
I could move when I had that muscle in my head, like to pick up choreography after college because we took dance so much. I could pick up choreography. Did I ever feel comfortable in my skin doing it? Never. Did I realize at a young age that I'm going to do singer actor musicals and focus on that? Yeah, I did. Would I recommend that to my students? No, I wouldn't. But it really, I've put my focus on scene study and acting and trying to be a better, you know, work on those two things if I couldn't do the third very well,
which was the dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I must ask you, is this like your impressions where you're like, oh, I don't really do impressions. I don't really dance.
And then you're like,
down and you're like, oh, he's Fred Astaire.
I mean, great. I could – I still took all the dance training. So like I could go to a bar class and have, I enjoyed bar class. I could do all of that stuff, but you're not going to see me do a triple pirouette anytime soon.
And do it now.
I'll do a little tour jeté right over there. You can have it. Great. You're welcome.
Scare your whole wife, scare your family, scare everybody in the house.
But I love seeing good dance. I love dancers. I have nothing but respect. I teach a lot of dancers to sing and get comfortable with their voices the way that I could never get comfortable with my movement. But
Maybe you can teach me how to sing as I am a dancer.
I like that. As you are a dancer.
As I'm primarily known as a dancer.
That's true. That's true. It's on your website, isn't it? It says like director, musical theater historian, dancer.
It says dancer.
Oh, dancer. Right.
It lists all my credits with New York Ballet. And then it's like he also does, you know, right, historical stuff, you know, but I'm going to dance Giselle next season. I'm very excited.
I bet.
They say I'm the best at it, but I don't know. We'll see.
You just got like, you're light on your feet, Rob. What can you say? You're very light on your feet.
What if I came into our next interview and I'm wearing like a sweatband and like ballet tights?
Yes. If you came to class like that, I would enjoy that. Or even a 54 Below concert, just coming right in. It's me. I'm here, everybody.
And a cutout tank top that says, I can't. I have rehearsal. Would you still be my friend?
Always, Rob. Always.
Good morning, everybody. I'm in fifth position. How many positions are there? Is fifth the last one you can get into? Oh, then I'm going to be in seventh position.
First, second, third, fourth, fifth. Yeah.
No, I'm going to be so good there's a seventh position.
It's like golf when there's like, there's 19 holes on this course. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just talk sports. Sorry, Rob. That was a sports joke. In golf, there's only 18 holes. Okay, I'm just making sure. I just, you know, never know.
There's a birdie. There's a handicap.
One under par.
There's a putter.
Yep, good.
There's a putter, a 9-iron. Right. A 9-iron?
And we'll see you next week, everybody, for another episode of
925-iron.
Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends, and Rob figuring out what golf is. Actually, I used to love it. I wanted to be a professional golfer when I was a kid.
Are there four clubs?
Rob, don't make me hit you.
Putter, 9-iron.
Putter. There's only like something like, I think 14 or 15 clubs allowed in your bag for professional use. But there are irons that are like second, 2-iron, 3-iron, 4-iron, 5-iron, 6-iron, 7-iron, 8-iron, 9-iron, pitching wedge, sand wedge. You've got your 1-wood, your 3-wood, your big driver, big Bertha. You've got your 5-wood because you can hit your 5-wood on the fairway. You've got your putter. You've got your chipper sometimes. But there's a regulation says you're only allowed to have a certain number of clubs. I think it's like 9, 11, 12, 13, 14. Someone is going to yell at me, but it's like 14 or 15.
I know someone who used their 5-wood at the club and wasn't allowed back anymore. Is this the same thing? Like, I have questions. All right.
You're welcome, everybody, for that lesson in golf.
I didn't know any of this.
Rob's tangent. Yes. Well, hey, it's good to know.
I used to go miniature golfing. Not the same thing, right?
I used to design miniature golf courses when I was a kid on graph paper.
Do you have any of them still?
No, God, no. I don't have any of that stuff. No.
We should do a Broadway miniature golf course.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what you would do, but like you try to hit the ball into Merman's mouth.
Yeah, like Carol Channing is like in the windmills, just going around.
Oh, yeah. Oh no, it's like Donna McKechnie, but her legs and arms are the windmill.
That's good. Yes,
that's it. Carol Channing, you hit me. Like if you get a hole in one, you hit it right on the spot.
I like that.
You hit me. Okay, just throwing out ideas, folks. But we'll do that at BroadwayCon next year. We'll set up the miniature golf at BroadwayCon. The kids will love it.
That's actually not a horrible idea, but yes. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your week and a great weekend, everybody. And enjoy the Susan Stroman interview. That was one of the best interviews we've had. No disrespect to anyone else before, but I just walked away from her thinking, man, I wish I could be in the same room with her someday and work with her. Because, boy, what a lady.
What a sweet, sweet person. So kind and so accommodating. Yep. Yeah. Yep, you're absolutely right. And we got some other fun people coming up. And then next week... Good. You will hear an episode of The Set Still Wet.
Love it.
Set Still Wet. And it's going to be Julia Murney.
Love that.
Julia Murney, folks.
Yeah.
She was fun. All right. Till next time. Have a great weekend. Right. Enjoy the Oscars, too.
Yes, that's right. Have fun, everybody.
Yay. Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.